My guest today is Adam Groholski. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
You're an Azure guy, right?
Yes, I am. I absolutely am. As of last Thursday.
That's not true. You were an Azure guy long
before
exactly.
That.
You just
got
a title last Thursday.
Yes, exactly. Right.
How long have you been working with Azure?
Well, since it was, before it was public. So, I mean, you know, pre-2008-ish.
Wow.
So, quite a while.
At least 6 years.
Yeah. A while. It's changed a lot.
It has changed a lot. Let's talk about something that I really wasn't aware of before. There were these command line tools.
Sure.
For not just for Windows, but for other clients as well.
Right. Yeah, so let's kind of take a step back before we do that. So managing Azure. So once you start using Azure, you typically go and you use the management portal, right? And it's great. It used to be a Silverlight thing. Now it's all HTML5. We've got a new portal out there in preview, which looks great. Highly recommend use it. But you go there, you can spin up websites and VMs. You can do everything from the portal, which is fine. But there comes a point in time where you might be thinking, I don't want to have to do 37 mouse clicks to you know, create a Windows VM or create a simple website.
Or you want to automate it as part of maybe your build deploy process.
Correct, which you absolutely can, because I don't have the exact percentage, but just about every single thing you can do within the Azure management portals is exposed via a REST interface. So if you're feeling really ambitious, you can go directly against those REST interfaces and program to your heart's content. However, I'm really lazy. I don't like trying to just, and we've got it fully documented, but reading documentation.
The stuff that isn't really the portal, like the storage, has a REST interface. If you want to insert a row into Azure tables.
Oh, exactly.
But there's a .NET library that sits on top of that, so those of us that are
C#
can use that.
Correct. And actually, we recently, and I'm glad you brought this up, we actually recently released a kind of a management library, or management set of libraries for Azure as well. So if you want to use C# and programmatically manage your Azure bits and bytes, you can absolutely do that as well.
Okay. So let's clarify, when we talk about managing, we're talking about things like creating and deploying a virtual machine.
Correct.
Or creating a website or a web application.
Yeah, but it can actually get a lot more complicated. So typically, let's say you have a development or test sandbox environment, right, that consists of many different virtual machines and websites, and maybe you've got a virtual network involved in storage and SQL. You can manage all of those things from the creation to the configuration through command line tools.
Okay.
And these command line tools essentially wrap that REST interface for you, which makes it scriptable is what you end up getting. So a nice repeatable process that you could then take scripts and maybe check them into some repository and version them.
When we talk about scripts, are we talking about writing them in C#? Are we talking about writing them in PowerShell?
So we've got some options. You know, if you're diehard Windows, you've got PowerShell. And PowerShell, for those of you that may not use PowerShell, it's kind of like command line, but on just complete steroids.
Right.
And that's what it is in the case of Azure as well. We've got an extensive set of PowerShell commandlets available for you to control your Azure environment. However, one of the things with Azure is that it's not just about Windows, which seems really odd for us to say. Or people kind of, when I go and talk to non-Microsoft groups, are like, first of all, like, why are you here if I'm talking to, like, a Node group or, you know, an Android group or whatever? It's like, well, because as much as we love Windows and Azure works great for Windows, it's also kind of embracing everybody. We want to make sure every developer has a great experience on the platform. So we've also written tools that will work on Linux and Mac, so OS X. So we've got a great set of cross-platform command line tools that you can use, and the cross-platform command line tools work on Windows as well. It's written in Node.js, but it's a great command line interface.
Oh, now what does that interface look like?
I mean, it's just a command line.
You're going to type it in or put it in the script.
Yeah, you just pop open a command prompt and type in Azure, and then you'll actually, there must have been some time left in the ship schedule because we've got some nice ASCII art in there.
Okay.
So I highly recommend just checking it out for the ASCII art when you type in Azure and see what pops up.
Yeah. All right. So once you type in Azure, then you have basically a little command shell that's specific to Azure.
Correct.
And then you're using the Node Package Manager to do this? Or
So if you want to install, you just do npm install. I believe it's Azure-CLI, and that will install. You know, regardless of which platform you're actually on, it'll bring down the package and install it for you.
Yep. All right. And you can do that on a Windows box. You can do it on a Mac, MacBook, or Linux box.
Yep. It'll work on all of them.
How do I get that capability on my device? Do I download something and install it?
Well, if you've got Node Package Manager installed already, you can actually just go to your command line and say, you know, npm install, and it'll install, you know, Azure-CLI, it'll install it for you. Otherwise, you can go up to
Azure-CLI?
Azure-CLI.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go up to Azure.com and you can, you know, you can Bing your favorite. it's look like Azure cross-platform command line tools, and it'll be your first hit.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and that'll take you to a link, and it'll show you what you need to do.
Okay.
But it's about two steps. It does not take very long to get going.
Okay. What are some of the things that you would do now you have this? Give me some examples.
I'll give you an example of, like, from my personal experience.
Yeah.
So as a technical evangelist, one of the things we do a lot of demos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to have my demos be consistent. I like to do them once and then not have to rewrite them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you want to show the complexity of just how deep you can go with Azure. So what I'll do sometimes is have a demo environment set up where I've got various Windows servers in kind of different states. And I want to show someone how I can create a Windows VM, I can then install something like maybe IIS on there, I can open up some ports on there, I can set up some virtual networking, I could then go and capture that VM and then have it as part of my own gallery that I could then spin up additional copies later.
Okay.
That's so to do that in a demo, I typically need 4 or 5 VMs in different states.
And that
can take a long time to spin up every time. You know, if I'm thinking the night before, okay, I need to get this environment going. All right, let me get those going, and let me get these 5 spun up, and then I got to make sure I get my configuration right. I get the right ports open, and what was that password I used again? Yeah, I mean,
sounds like this would be a good candidate for scripting.
Yeah, it is, and that's exactly what I do. So I'll script that environment out, so I can kick my script off, and it'll go and get the whole environment kind of pre-configured for me. Similarly, on the other side, and this is interesting because you and I are talking about this today, so I could have an environment with 5 VMs running. Sometimes it might be a good idea to shut those off after
right.
I'm done with my demo.
It saves money.
It saves money. I mean, you know, just like most folks, you know, I've got a budget. I've got some Azure credit, but still mm-hmm. don't want to necessarily spend money where I don't have to. So I'll write my kind of my pre-script, but I'll also write a post-script to tear the whole thing down. So and that's, you know, shutting the VMs off, turning them off, deleting the images, deleting kind of their associated blobs and blob stores so that I've got a perfectly clean environment after the demo. So that way I know I only spent, you know, $2 for the
right.
whole thing. Or, you know, whatever, credits. Yeah.
Are you running your scripts in these cross-platform command line tools, or are you writing them in PowerShell?
I do both.
Okay.
It depends what I'm doing. Sometimes I'll do PowerShell. It kind of depends on my audience, because one of the
things... You're mostly working on a Windows box, I assume.
Most of the time, yes. But I also like to tailor it for my audience, too. So I've got scripts written in both.
Okay.
If I'm talking to, you know, a diehard .NET Windows crowd, yeah, then I'm going to show them PowerShell because that's probably what they're going to use. But I spend a lot of time talking with kind of the non-Microsoft crowd, too. So I can show them Windows, but I want to meet them where they are, which means I need to go and I need to be on a MacBook or a Linux machine, and I want to use the cross-platform tools because they're going to be more comfortable with that.
Mm.
And I don't want to say, all right, we need a Windows machine, you need to do this and that. That's not what it's about. So I'll do both.
Wow. Any resources you can point our viewers to learn more
just
about
go this? To Azure.com.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the place to go.
Okay.
Yep, that's the best spot.
Are you blogging about this?
So last year I did about a 50-part blog series on it.
Wow.
Yeah, showing how I didn't cover every possible scenario, but I just showed how to get started, and here are just some very simple things you can do. So the blog posts are simple. It's like, all right, you want to create a SQL database. Here's what you do. You want to, you know, create a virtual machine. Here's what you do. Very simple steps, but yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
What's your blog?
ThinkFirstCodeLater.com.
Cool. Is that the number 8 in later?
No, it's not. Think
okay.
First Code Later.
What's
no.
your, I asked that, of course, because what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, @CodeLater. And there's an 8 in there, so @CODEL8R. Yeah.
All right. Anything else we should cover that we haven't?
The only other thing I'd mention is that the cool thing about this is that not only is it cross-platform, these command line tools, but they're also open-sourced.
Oh, yeah.
So the source code is available up on GitHub, where you can go and you can pull it down. If there's some feature you're just dying to have, you can go pull it down, make the changes yourself, and submit a pull request, too. So it's not just about it being cross-platform. It's about it truly being open-source.
Okay, so this code we pull down, this would be JavaScript code.
Yes. Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Adam, thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem, David. Happy to.
Yeah, so this has been a great week. I am at a conference, a technology conference, with about 12,000 of my closest Microsoft friends here in Atlanta, and it's been an amazing week so far, and I wonder what we're going to learn tomorrow.